Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Column Podcast number 397. I just want to let you know something very important. Dave is ready, so he's going to be on his game all day.
Dave is always on his game.
True.
Just because we have a very important, I have a very important book to talk about.
Ooh.
So take for whatever that's worth.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. That's Uncle Scrooge 50 is next week.
So we call that a teaser in the biz.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Everyone will be sure to stay tuned now.
Dave's news. No.
He's wearing Dave's nude.
No. Nobody wants to see that.
That's a tight no. No, Pat. No, you're just making stuff up.
No.
But
as opposed to the other weeks, right, where I know what I'm talking about.
But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Dave,
Pat,
Brandon,
Spencer.
Mike is busy, so he said, "Screw you guys.
I'm staying home."
Exactly. So the only news I really noticed, there were two kind of big deaths this last week. Yesterday, Tom Lyle passed away, and he was really a major part of Spider-Man, especially during like the Clone Saga. And I just remember his style.
He designed a lot of
the covers.
He designed the Scarlet Spider's uniform. Okay. The
hoodie with the ankle pouches.
Sweatpants.
Yeah. Hey, you know, just because you're laying around home, you went, hey.
I understand.
No, but yeah, he was only 66, which is way too young.
Very sad.
So that was a real surprise. I don't remember hearing that he was in ill health or anything. So that was a surprise. And then even scarier was Tom Spurgeon died, who worked for the Comics Journal, and then he had his own site, The Comics Reporter. I'm personally not really familiar with him. I know I was following him on Twitter and would see his tweets and stuff. I knew he was somebody, but okay. I couldn't really tell you anything about it. It was interesting, though, when I went to click on his Twitter feed just to see if he had been posting like he was sick or something like that. It showed that he followed me, so that was kind of, whoa! So that was kind of interesting.
You don't want dead people following you. That's
well,
scary.
No, but I didn't realize he had been following me. So he saw a lot of hockey tweets.
They talked a lot about him on the Challengers podcast
this
week.
Yeah, like they knew him, and lots of people. I know The Beat did a big article and stuff on him.
It's
so
difficult to be a respected comics journalist about comics, and he was at the top and top of the heap there.
But the scary thing for me is he was only 51, or 50, I think. They kept saying 51, but then when I saw his actual obit, his birthday was like in December. So he was only 50. So that's like, whoa, that's way too young.
That's
so
awful.
Yeah, he was real involved with in Columbus with the some sort of thing there. I don't know exactly if it was like a museum or a exhibit or something like that. But I know he was in Columbus, that he moved there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he moved to Columbus from wherever he was.
On purpose?
Yeah, on purpose to work on that. It was a festival or something like that. So
the Wright brothers being from Ohio. Like 9 of the first 14 astronauts being from Ohio.
Yeah.
People will invent technology to get the hell away from Ohio.
They have an actual museum of comic art or at Ohio State University.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
The Ohio State University.
Pardon me, yes, the Ohio State.
But not trademarked.
Because you can't trademark the.
They tried. So, yeah, I don't really remember any other news, anything of note. It all starts to blur at this point. Marvel officially announced a midnight release for Incoming number one. I saw that. I think it was on Newsarama, which is awesome.
You're having that midnight release party.
I'm not having that midnight release party because that's Christmas Day. They would want us to have the midnight release party.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. And I'm like, that's pretty ballsy. It's bad enough we're supposed to do a midnight release for Star Wars on New Year's Eve, basically saying, hey, guys, you're all losers. You're not doing anything anyway. Why don't you go down and pick up a comic book? Doing it Christmas Day night.
Other,
wait,
you
is
could
it
go
like
the other
midnight the 25th or midnight the 26th?
Midnight going into the 26th. Okay. But still, it's Christmas Day. You know, I'm not coming down here to sell the 10 copies of Incoming I ordered. Yeah.
Woo! All right, store's closed. You could be out of here by 12:15.
I could. You're right. I could.
Well, that's even if those 10 people who got that even wanted that early.
Right. That's true. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a $10 book spinning out of Marvel 1001 and the mask guy that everybody's been talking about nonstop since Marvel 1001. So.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
There you go.
So
you're welcome. You're
no
welcome.
One is talking
yeah.
About
well,
it
in
right
Marvel
here.
1000, you had the Infinity Mask or whatever at the beginning, and then it came up again at the end. And I guess it was in 1001 as
the
well.
Infinity
I didn't
mask.
Read that. Yeah, the Infinity Mask. I think it was called.
Because you now have to accessorize with your Infinity Gauntlet.
Well, it was something completely different.
Different gems.
No gems, but yeah, I don't know. But I'm like, $10 book, nah. And they announced a 1 in 500 cover. I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, you get four of those.
No, sorry. Thanks, guys. Yes.
But you are gonna do the Star Wars one on New Year's Eve, right?
No, I'm not. It's bad enough I have to be open New Year's Day, because that was a traditional
football
sofa
and chill day.
Yeah, so I'm kind of annoyed that I have to be open that day.
You don't have to do a damn thing.
Well, no, but they're advertising new release day, so and everybody would be off, but well, yeah, it's very annoying.
That'll be after the movie.
Yeah,
so I wonder if there'll be any buzz for that comic book at all.
I don't know. It takes place after Empire, so.
So no.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the movie.
That may actually increase its buzz, not decrease its buzz. Depends on how the movie's received.
Yeah, I'm like, because so it's somebody else like, yeah, but it's tied into Empire. I'm like, no, it's not. It's post Empire. It's pre Return of the Jedi. It's leading up to that. I'm like, there's a much different buzz to that.
Well, I always did wonder how Admiral Akbar came to join the rebellion.
Well, you'll find out. Yeah. Let's see. And won't have any Han in it. And Lefty Luke, so.
I want more non-numb.
Okay.
Yeah.
Since he's no longer with us.
I'm sure we'll get the story of how they got the Rancor in the bottom of Jabba's thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
the Rancor
fun.
Keeper.
Right, but you get his backstory.
I'm pretty sure he was backstory in the Rancor. He was a little too attached to that thing.
No, we're not going to do backstory in the Rancor. Thanks, though, Pat. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
You're slowly chipping away. One of these times he's
going
to
do
something.
It. Yeah. He's going to do something totally inappropriate, and he's going to blame me.
Yeah, you know what? I totally forgot to ask for questions today. I apologize.
Oh, man. But anyway, you should take advantage of the whole new year. See, because, you guys are losers. That's why you're here in a comic book store. No, you could have a party up in here on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Have people puking on the sidewalk. It'll be good. Costume contest.
Sounds great.
Costume contest.
On New Year's Eve, yeah. Come dressed up on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Trying to see if I had any late questions last week. I don't think
dressed up as your favorite pantsless Disney character. You have a few options.
Yeah.
Kermit, Fozzie, Donald Duck, Winnie the Pooh. See? You gotta be thinking through these things, man.
You're right. You got
your store would be doing a lot better if you had an imagination. Or you'd be arrested. Either way, it's entertaining.
So that's all I got. Dave, I do not want to hold you back.
Okay.
What book are you all excited about?
Oh, talk about that one first. Okay. Uncle Scrooge.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Event Leviathan. Okay.
I don't think anyone's happy about that one.
I'll talk about Uncle Scrooge first, since I'm sure everybody's dying to hear about it.
We're dying to know.
Yeah.
It's the final issue of the Under Siege storyline.
Oh, so that did come. Okay, that was last week. Okay.
That was last week.
So he was like a cook on a aircraft carrier and got taken over by Gary Busey?
It was just that good, though. It was just that good.
I don't know.
There,
did Daisy, like, jump out of a cake? Wow, this is getting disturbing.
No. Daisy's not in this. That's another story. Let's see. Yeah, pretty much. It stuck the landing, as we say. as far as Uncle Scrooge story goes. But
as most duck books should.
Landed on its, two big web feet. Let's see. We last left the money bin was in Duckburg Stadium with the Beagle Boys and all the criminals heading out to get Uncle Scrooge and all the money. And Donald's there with his cousin Feathery trying to get into the money bin to save everybody inside. But magic of the spell hits the wrong button, and the money bin shoots off into space.
Hate when that happens.
Why do you have a button for that?
Yeah, you would think that's an odd feature to have on your money bin.
Apparently, it's Gyro Gearloose's fault. It's one of the defense systems he put in.
Colin's looking like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I do. No, I was looking at this. I thought this was pretty brilliant.
It goes into orbit?
It goes into orbit, yes.
I feel like the money, what's it called? The money bin has enough mass that if it fell back to Earth from orbit, it would be...
Like an asteroid?
An ELE.
Yeah.
It would be a like extinction level event.
Yeah. It really would be.
No. Or did I just spoil it?
You spoiled it. I don't need to go on.
It was the end of Duckburg and all life as we know it.
Yeah.
It's a really dark way to end.
If only Scrooge has to make a deal with Magica to turn. She doesn't have enough magic to do that, to bring the money bin back to Earth herself. So she needs an amulet. So she wants to use Scrooge's first dollar.
His number one dime?
His number one dime, or his base. I don't know. I think they're two different things. I think his first dime is different from his...
It's his lucky number one dime.
Yeah. That's different from his dollar, his first dollar coin, which is the base coin of the money bin. And she wants to use that to make an amulet, and then she'll have enough power to bring the money bin back to Earth. Which she does. And everybody comes back to Earth. Spoiler, sorry. If anybody's going to read this huge story.
I was trade waiting, but...
Sorry, Spencer.
You know, along with the mass problem and the extinction level event, just the amount of friction because of the size of that thing as it re-enters the atmosphere, it would burn up a lot of that money.
Yeah, all those coins would melt.
It comes back to Duckburg. Everybody's happy that the symbol of Duckburg is back safe and sound. I'm trying to figure out like why the people are so attached to the money bin, because they just love it, the ducks in Duckburg. But
but there's more than just ducks in Duckburg.
Yeah,
there's dogs.
Yeah, there's dogs. So we get. I won't give this away, Spencer. Everybody gets little endings. Jabber Gearloose goes back to the drawing board and but Scrooge, he gets the coin back. Instead of putting it at the bottom, he puts it at the top of his money bin.
So do any of the DuckTales or Scrooge stuff, do they ever explain how he makes his money, like what like shady business Scrooge gets into to make that much money?
No.
Because that's
no.
the only way you're making that much money.
He says he has 70 bajillion dollars.
Yeah, you don't make that being a nice guy.
It's an import-export business.
Sanitation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure, but maybe in future story, maybe in the next issue they'll explain that, because I think it, I don't know if it might come out next week or... Pretty.
Yeah, maybe I got confused.
I thought it may have
51 is next week.
Okay, that's it. Oh, 51.
I always thought Uncle Scrooge was a moneylender.
Launderer.
Oh.
Yes, that too. No, you're thinking of the...
Ebenezer Scrooge?
Yeah, Ebenezer Scrooge. Which he played in Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Okay, we'll go on to some other books then. Not as great. Well,
how could they be? I mean,
how could they be? As Uncle Scrooge, number 50. Anybody read Family Tree?
I did.
Yeah.
By Jeff Lemire and Phil Hester.
Is that one? Was that the Hill House one?
Mm-mm. No.
It was from Image. This was Image.
Okay. I'm thinking of Dollhouse or something like
that. Dollhouse yeah. Family. Yeah.
This is kind of a family horror story with a lot of biblical references. But it's about this lady, this woman, single mother, Loretta. She works at a grocery store. And she has two kids, and she gets called to school because her son gets caught with a bag of marijuana. And she has a little girl, Meg. And when they're driving to the school, Meg says she has a rash. She has a rash on her arm.
I was gonna say, tell, don't show. That doesn't work. Okay. Dave started scratching his arm.
That was like...
oh, I thought you were doing a reenactment. Okay, I'm sorry.
That was just like... I forget what the word is for that. And then they look at her back, and there's a branch, you know, with a leaf growing out of her back.
Well, that was later. First it was just her arm, and then they go and they pick up the son who's in trouble. And even better, it turns out that it was mom's weed.
So they decide to go to the hospital.
And in the meantime, while the little girl was waiting outside of the principal's office, someone comes up to her and hands her a bag.
Yeah.
He was missing a hand, which
I don't know. Yeah, you couldn't tell from the art. Yeah, I went back and looked. You couldn't tell that from the art, but she mentioned the man with the, I guess, fake hand or something. But,
yeah. Yeah, I went back and looked at that, and it did look like he had a fake hand.
It wasn't super clear.
It wasn't clear the first time at all.
No, he had a hand, so you really couldn't tell that it wasn't a hand.
So they're driving to the hospital, and then it gets kind of weird, and they show like now it gets weird. And they show this tree growth, you know, over the sign.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying she
hasn't been back to the town. Like talking in the present, and this all I guess is like face.
That's what I should say. It takes place in 1997, and at the beginning she says, you know, this is how the end of the world starts. And as they're driving,
at a grocery store, of course.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Actually, the very first scene, now thinking back on it, this weird bald guy like starts to come up to a register and then runs off.
Yeah.
Because that comes up later.
And there's an accident, and they're accosted by like four guys with knives and axes.
Well, first they realize they get home, and she's like, my back itches too, and they lift up her shirt. Right. And... see, there's a branch growing out, and then, you know, the brother's like, oh my god, and so they head off. That's when she also mentioned about the man. But yeah, then they get in the car accident, and it was those weird guys
who I think are supposed to be like the four horsemen or something.
They crashed into her intentionally, and then are trying to get the little girl, and then somebody saves them. Pat, guess who saves them?
Rocket Raccoon.
No.
Because of Groot?
Yeah.
The old one-armed guy. And guess who one-armed guy is?
Tommy Lee Jones?
Grandpa.
Oh.
But I didn't see that.
You did not guess well.
I did not. No, I didn't really look.
Well, I know, but that's what I'm just saying. You could have made real guesses.
I did make a real guess. You said the girl was turning into a tree, and I'm thinking Groot, so Rocket Raccoon saved
her. Oh, okay. I see, yeah. But it's an Image book, not a Marvel book. So.
Eh.
You're completely out of line. Clicky-clicky.
I don't know what's going on, but it was good.
No, it was interesting, trying to figure out what's going on. But yeah, the little girl's turning into
Phil Hester's art was very unnerving. That was very, very cool. I guess this is a miniseries. I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see where it
heads. It's hard to tell with him sometimes. Yeah. If it's going to be a... Because like that Berserker was only just a miniseries.
Right. Yeah, that was only four issues. Okay. Read another new one, Folklords.
I read that.
Anybody read that? This was really good.
It was very good. It was Matt Kent. Yeah.
New one by Matt Kent.
Boom book. But yeah.
Most recently did Black Badge, which I really like. this is I thought this was a really cool take on fairy tales, fantasy stories. You know, kind of turns it upside down because the main character Ansel, this kid, is having these visions of a city of our world, skyscrapers and ships that fly in the sky.
But he lives in like a fantasy type. But he lives world, in a fantasy, you know, not world. A hobbit, but that kind of world.
And each of the
he wears a tie and a suit, and they're like, "Why are you dressed like that?"
And each of the kids, they have to get up in public and say what quests they want to go on as part of, you know, becoming a man or woman, their journey to man or womanhood. And Ansel wants to go out and find the folk lords that he's seeing in his visions. But when they're about to announce, when all the kids, you know, get up in front of the adults and announce their quests, his friend Archer in front of him says, "I'm going to go see the folk lords." And he's like, "Oh, he stole my idea." But then the guild, and they're I forget if it's a guild or a council, the guild of librarians accosts Archer and tells him, you know, "You can't do that. If you try to find them, that you'll be executed. That's your fate is death if you do that."
Yeah, they were really very adamant about it. And then they gave everybody their quests. And like this quest thing is supposed to be their meaning for their lives. And all of a sudden they hand them quests. And it's like, go look at, you know, keep an eye on the troll out at the out at the lake, and, you know, things like that. And basically become spies for the librarians. Yeah. Who are these weird, like all bandaged up people. You could see one eye. They're really weird guys.
Hmm. Yeah. So Ansel and Archer, they decide to sneak off out of town, out of the village to find the folk lords. It was really good, man.
Yeah, it was. Just and then like a librarian helps them, and they're like, "What the heck is going on?" Because they cross this river to get to the lands where they think the folk lords might be. They turns out he has no idea. He's just, "Let's go find them," you know, with no idea. And this guy stops them, and they make up a story that they're going to visit a friend. And he's like, "Oh, I thought you might be going looking for the folk lords, and you might want to go that way." Yeah, and they're like, "Okay." So it was good. Yeah, I thought it was real good.
Just really great. Yeah. And last one I'll mention, Edgar Allan Poe.
I read that.
Snifter of Terror. First story is a take on the Conqueror Worm. Two women are off to tell one of their grandfathers, who's a scientist, that they're going to get married. And he's trying to talk to the worms. And he tells them, you know, about how humankind, we're just food for the worms. And love and intelligence, they're not real. We're just subjugated by the worms, and just to be their food. And he injects himself with this chemical to try to talk to the worms, and he becomes this giant conqueror worm.
Yeah. I had the art in this. I wasn't sure because it's two girls. But in some of the panels, I was like, is it a guy and a girl?
Yeah.
Or not? They jumped back and forth a little bit.
Until they said that, I thought it was a guy too.
Because in some panels, it's clearly two girls, but in other ones, it looks like a guy and a girl. So.
But I was really here for the next story. Yeah, the monster, Mark Russell, another one of his monster serials about the Leprechaun King.
Yeah. Lucky?
Yes.
Well, it is a, like, it's based on the Lucky Charm cereal. Like, it's got a lot of Easter eggs for Lucky Charms.
Yeah, they have, like, the Crown of Wisdom, which they introduced the Crown of Wisdom, which, you know, has the
Pink Heart, Yellow Moon,
Blue Star, and one other one.
Purple Horseshoe.
That has
Blue Diamond.
maybe the Blue Diamond. Yeah. And it has control over death and so many other things. But there's a lot of great Easter eggs.
Yeah.
With
he worked Magically Delicious into something, like into like somebody says it. I can't remember the context.
But yeah.
The like the bar they meet at is like the Chris Bryce.
Chris Bryce, yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Lucky Charms is oats based, but I still thought it was.
Yeah. Good. There's appearances by Fruit Brute and Dig'em Frog.
Oh yeah.
And especially I like the two brothers. There's Frank and Cherry and Beau Berry.
Yeah.
BAUBRRIE. And it's hilarious because Beau Berry, he's just a guy, and then he dies and becomes a ghost. And he has a Beau Berry, yeah. And he has that big bow tie on, you know, when it's like a serious scene, but it's taken so seriously. Mm. You know, it's crazy, but it's taken ridiculous seriously.
Taken seriously.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. But so that was.
Yeah, that was good.
So that was really good. And that's all I got, Pat.
I don't know, I could follow up on
that.
Oh,
man, that was a big week for me.
Well, I got one, Dave, I think you probably read. Black Hammer Justice League, number 5.
Oh, I did read that, yes.
So this was the last issue, which I thought it went to 6, but apparently did not.
Oh, I think I was under the impression, too, yeah.
It goes to 11. Sorry.
No, it doesn't go to 11. But that'd be pretty cool. So we learned in the last issue that Mr. Mixus Pitlick was responsible for flipping the Black Hammer group and the Justice League. And he agrees to turn things back the right way. However, everyone has to agree. And the problem is Gail does not want to be a child again and certainly does not want to go back to the farm again.
Yeah.
But, you know, eventually that she comes to her senses and goes back. But she tries to say her magic word, and it doesn't work, and so she's pissed about that.
Yeah. Zafram.
Yeah.
It's Clittalillum, Clittalillum, or whatever.
Kill tip season?
Whatever.
See, I didn't disappear. You didn't? So it's not me. I can't come back for 90 days. It's a whole thing. I thought it was okay. It was interesting. What I found was more interesting was the Justice League people on the farm.
Yeah.
You know, Batman taking over the the role and. Yeah, still trying to go out and fight crime, even though it's not.
That stuff was really interesting. Yeah.
But the Black Hammer crew in Gotham didn't work for me, or Metropolis didn't work for me.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It wasn't horrible, but it was a little disappointing.
I liked the first couple of issues, like what you're talking about, more than these last two.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if. You're not going to make Gail able to change again. Even if she can't leave the farm, at least allow her to be able to change back and forth.
Yeah. Maybe I was expecting something more than just Mr. and Mrs. Pitlick, you know, switching them, even though I should have probably saw that coming.
Yeah, that was the problem. So, like, after it happened, I was like, yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't get us any closer to why. Other than he just like screwing with them. I mean, yeah. It was like, there was no motivation. It was just like, he was bored. It was Thursday. I know what I'll do. I'll put them on the farm.
Kind of ends on a, like, it could be open too when he finds the Parazone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So he has access to all these new places.
Yeah. Detective Comics.
I read that.
Yeah.
So, in the last issue, they had unfrozen, or Mr. Freeze had unfrozen Nora. This one picks up right after that, and they're going on a crime spree, essentially to get money to fund them to not have to do anything the rest of their lives. And Nora enjoys the power a little too much. So, where Mr. Freeze had always essentially been, he was a villain, but there was always a purpose behind it to get Nora back. She seems to really enjoy the power that she has and wants to keep robbing or, you know, committing crime.
Yeah, and she doesn't want to be subservient to him. And
yeah.
And then even Mr. Freeze alludes to, like, he worries if, like, when he brought her back, if he did something to her that she, like, that she's
he
not
broke
the,
her.
Yeah, or not, like, yeah, not the actual Nora that, you know, was before.
Yeah. So he helps Batman to thaw out all the people that they had frozen.
Yeah.
Which
they figure out because he had, Batman has Alfred Freeze's hand and like half his forearm, and they try things out until they mm-hmm. can, you know,
they can thaw it out, but yeah. it goes completely numb.
Yeah.
So that's, I, you know, now Batman's going to help Freeze to try to get Nora back. But
I can't remember where I heard the idea, but I like it. I heard somebody say that at the end of this, they should have it so that, like, Mr. Freeze gets put in the tank, and Nora's the, like, and it's
Nora Mrs. essentially it, becomes...
Yeah, yeah. So it's, like, Mrs. Freeze or whatever for a while.
I'd be okay with that. It's different.
I don't know. I like the... tragedy that he unthaws her basically for her to just break up with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she looks a little bit like Smurfette.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, yeah, her skin turns blue because of the
yeah.
medicine or whatever he's using to bring her back. Because she has to be at absolute zero to survive, mm-hmm. I think.
Right, both of them do.
Which makes no sense.
Right, because absolute zero
yeah,
is...
nothing would move.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But
it's
comic book absolute zero. Yeah. yeah.
That's why all scientists in the Marvel Universe can do anything.
Yeah.
Tales from the Dark Multiverse Blackest Night. I thought it was okay.
Yeah,
now, I was a big fan of Blackest Night.
Yeah.
This was a much more condensed version. It really just picks up at the end where Sinestro has the White Lantern ring. In the original, he shares the power, and that's how they're able to end Darkest Night. In this version, he chooses not to share the power, and because of that, the Black Lanterns basically take over. And at this point, the only human that's left is Dove.
Yeah.
Because she's somehow immune to...
Yeah,
because
she's like an agent of peace or something like that.
Almost like the Avatar of Life.
Yeah.
So Lobo was hired to get her.
Yeah.
And I think there was some good interaction with her and Lobo.
Yeah.
Lobo was fun in the book. And he can kind of get annoying at times, but he was fun in the book. Eventually, they get to the Source Wall, and the idea was to open up the Source Wall and pure life would be channeled through Dove to be able to defeat...
Because the person who hired Lobo was Mr. Miracle.
Yeah.
And that was, like, his plan. But, yeah, he said it was alright. I didn't really like the art in this issue. It just seemed like a, like, pretty rushed and, like, kind of, like, cartoonish, like...
Yeah, there was some cartoony aspects to it.
Like, it reminded me, like, somebody trying to, like, copy, like, Kelly Jones, almost, like, how he has, like, kind of, like, that, weird, like, loose kind of, like, muscles don't always maybe look like where they're supposed to go sometimes.
Okay,
yeah. Like, but it's probably, like, my least favorite so far out of the three that came out, but...
Yeah.
But, like, not terrible.
No, no. I did like it. Mr. Miracle kills Dove. So instead they use Lobo because of his nanites as the avatar. So all of the... it wipes out everything that's dead and essentially like starts anew. Mm. And they're all Lobo versions of animals. Yeah. So like rats that have the red eyes and they're bulky and... you know, the gorillas and everything. It was like, okay, it was kind of different. But it didn't end on the same downer note that the other ones did.
Yeah.
I mean, a planet full of Lobos isn't a great place, but it's better than
no place.
It's better than the alternative. And the last one I'll talk about is Punisher Soviet, number one.
I read that.
How was that?
It was okay. It took a while for them to kind of get into the story. It's a guy from Russia, obviously, came over, and he was basically willing to do the jobs that no one else was willing to do, and then he just became, you know, super powerful. Now the rumor is he's going legit. It feels like an old Punisher Max story. I don't know if there was enough story in it, though.
Well, the Punisher kind of meets his doppelganger, though. Right?
A Russian version.
Yeah, version of,
yeah,
you know, somebody who's doing something
essentially
similar
the same
Punisher
thing.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I think that fits right in with this. Felt like an old Punisher Max book. So
yeah.
I think Ennis has fallen right back into the groove.
He already had one in the can from back then, and no one
that. And that could have been too.
Yeah,
that it could have been an old story that they pulled out,
polished up a little bit. Like,
yeah, because
this doesn't like fall into like cause
Marvel
that,
recycling idea.
There was kind of there was like a timeline to that series, but
yeah,
it doesn't
yeah
really touch on any of that stuff. So it's kind of independent.
Yeah, the original Max, not the Jason Aaron Max stuff that came later.
The Garth Ennis run.
Yeah,
yeah. The Jason Burroughs art in this, like, he's gotten better, because I always think of him as the, what's it, the company that puts out Crossed.
Avatar.
I think of him as, like, the Avatar, almost like house style guy.
Okay, yeah.
Everything Avatar either is done by Jason Burroughs or looks like it could be done by Jason Burroughs. And,
But so I think like, that works with Punisher Max.
Yeah, but he gets like proportion wrong sometimes. Like on the very last page where they kind of reveal the guy sitting at the bar.
Okay, yeah, he was a little elongated.
He's got like a wonky arm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, something's off about him. I thought it was like a
maybe he spent too much time
short
in Chernobyl
or like a missing elbow or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
too much time
in Chernobyl.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
But
better and back during the Rancor, apparently.
It is, yes.
yeah, but I'm happy that this is back. It's been so long since I've read any Punisher. So that was good.
So you're all like, welcome back, Frank?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I read.
All right. Let's see. I read... about a lot of what I read. I read Guardians of the Galaxy number 11. So this is the penultimate issue. I like to mention penultimate.
I will never forget penultimate. Yes, thank you.
It's a classic word.
Yes. That was beaten into me.
Yeah. So in this, the Guardians are in the Church of Universal Truth or whatever that ship is called that they're on, and they're fighting against all of the Drax clones that were in the Adam Warlock incubators. The Universal Church of Truth has brainwashed a whole bunch of the Guardians and other like intergalactic Marvel heroes. So it's Groot and Moondragon trying to basically like free Star-Lord from the grasp of the Universal Church of Truth, and Rocket is dying, and he's got
been dying for a while.
Yeah, he's well, like six issues. He's got this mech suit on that keeps him alive, and Beta Ray Bill throws his hammer at him and knocks him down, and it seems like the Guardians are going to lose, and Rocket. And at the end of the issue, we see Rocket's kind of like, you know, he's probably going to die because he's out of a suit, but he's kind of walking to save them with his giant rocket rifle, you know.
Except that he's on the cover of issue one of the new magazine.
Yeah. So
Tim, don't be logical.
But
Tim mentioned that he's on the cover of the new
and the I don't know what he's called, but the young Adam Warlock.
Magus.
Yeah. So thank you. So Magus is there. So I'm sure in the next issue, the Guardians are going to be unbrainwashed and Rocket's gonna, you know, get his life force back or whatever, or be patched up in time for the new number one. Yeah, the new number one. Let's see, Sea of Stars number five. So this is I don't know if anybody's reading this. Colin, you read the number one, right?
I read one. So, yeah, I didn't keep up.
So
with
the.
Is this the Jason Aaron?
Yeah, it's Jason Aaron. In the first issue, the father and the son get separated in space.
Right.
And for some reason,
two creatures kind of take the son.
Yeah, two
under
creatures
their wing.
Take the son, but he can breathe in space. Like, he doesn't need a suit. He's got all these kind of magical powers. He can swim in space. And so in this issue, we finally get them united back together.
Okay.
And we know why the kid has the powers and that he has, and kind of what the purpose of that is.
Okay.
It's very kind of mythological.
Okay.
And so they basically get them back together, but it's sort of a narrow miss. But now we kind of have now that they're back together, we kind of realize what the bigger bigger enemy is, the
okay.
bigger, you know, the apocalyptic
mm-hmm.
kind of thing that they're going to need to prevent now that he has these powers. And so it's good. I don't know how this is going to be an ongoing. Is
okay.
it an ongoing?
I don't know.
Yeah, because I know it's not like a six issue, but I don't know. It's taken a really long time to get where it's at, and it's not bad, but it's like, you know.
Would you rather have more Southern Bastard since he's...
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. I don't know, because...
It was a book.
Yeah, but I haven't read all of Southern Bastards because I was reading it in trade, but, you know, that's a very...
different
specific,
book.
Specific,
yeah.
Like, tone. Because I like the first book a lot better than the second book. I haven't read the third one. But is there a fourth one? I can't even remember.
Bye, Tim.
Anyway, I haven't read past the second one, so yeah. But this book is good. It's just like, you know, it's not going at the pace that I'd wished it would. Let's see. Anything else that I can remember? Spencer, do you read any of the X books?
Just X-Men.
Okay. Then I'll talk about Fallen Angels. So Fallen Angels,
I read that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, good. So, I don't know. I was very
confused.
I can make like a general commentary about these X books. Like, what's it called? Like the Newton's contraption, where the balls just go back and forth. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I feel like that's what this is with these all these number ones. You get this. Yep. You get the revelation of, oh, Moira's a, you know, Moira's a mutant.
Yeah.
Gold balls. Professor X is dead, and it's just like they don't actually tell a story.
Right.
It's just all bunch these of revelations.
Yeah.
Or revelations. Yeah. Thank you. So it's just kind of going back and forth, and we're not actually going anywhere, but all these things that are, you know, seemingly important are happening. And I just feel like I'm being bounced around. But anyway, the thing that bounced me, you know, in the opposite direction with this one is now the Psylocke, who is the Asian Psylocke, who's back in her body, has
a has control of her body, or Betsy Braddock no longer, which they assume you know. And that's my big problem.
And I like only like tangential. Yeah. I didn't read the story where that happens, but I have like I've heard her inner monologue in other books where she kind of touches on this. So, so she's back in her body, and she has a daughter with a butterfly tattoo, who is like an evil version of Psylocke. I think that's what it is. So I think that's the. That's the revelation for this book, and that's kind of where it's going. So she has kind of recruited X-23, Laura Kinney.
And how you say that? That makes sense now, because I was just thinking about the end of the second issue of X-Men. Like how you're just saying, like, here's a thing.
Yeah.
And then it's just thing.
Well, yeah, the end of the second issue of X-Men was just oh, and here's another thing.
Plot point.
Like, and it's just like, okay, and it's because they're kicking off all these number ones, because I've been reading these every week, sometimes two a week, for a month after this, and this there is no progression of any stories whatsoever. No. And so this was just more of that, but I also kind of feel like I have to read all of these for it to just really to understand. Make sense, because they're referencing each other pretty heavily. Now, I have a feeling that that's because this is the number one, and like they can, this is when they'll have their ducks in a row,
right?
And then from here, they'll diverge. But I don't know. Fallen Angels art wasn't good. If like it wasn't good enough to have, like if you're gonna have two Psylocke's in a book, like I need to be able to like.
Yeah,
constantly know
when she's having visions and somebody's talking to her, and you don't know who's talking to her. It was just very you were confused the whole time.
It was money. Like the you know, there were like at one point X-23 like grabbed somebody or somebody grabbed her, and I was looking at the panel. I had no idea who was doing what. I kind of like had to had to just guess at it. And Cable's in this, young Cable, for some reason. But he's also in the X-Men book.
So and then I started getting confused as I'm sitting here thinking, wait, did that happen in this book or that book? Yeah.
Because in my mind, the whole purpose of to have these teams, these different books, is to like make the teams like kind of like like keep them clean and have very little overlap. Yeah. Like Professor X can go from book to book, or you know, Logan. Well, now he can't. But so yeah, that was Fallen Angels. X-Men, if we want to switch to that, the big reveal
islands
that
having sex
is these two islands,
and let's introduce a new character who looks exactly like one of the characters from his Avengers run.
Albino Boy.
Albino Boy with the marks on his chest, like the guy with the big horn in Avengers that had the Omega on his chest.
Is
and
he from the X-Men? Because I don't recognize
him. I think he's completely
pretty big X-Men.
No,
this is completely new.
I'm going to say he was probably referred to in that one issue of Hox Pox where they were talking about the islands separating. Long ago.
Oh, did you read it too, Dave?
I read it,
In what? Wait a minute. Apocalypse is going to be bad? Oh, I'm shocked that they would reveal that in issue two. I was not thrilled with that issue.
Yeah.
I need Cable explained to me. Is this the young version of the regular Cable?
Yes. So, pre-Hox and Pox, young Cable comes back and kills slightly older Cable. So like you know, 23-year-old Cable kills 40-year-old Cable because he's not doing a good job.
That's middle Cable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, old Cable, young Cable, middle Cable.
Yeah.
Long Cable.
So the young Cable kills the older Cable, and now we have young Cable for some reason. Even though there's no reason, because of the nature of Cable, like, he should be able to go back and forth. So, yeah, I think that that's just an excuse for them to draw him younger. It doesn't make a ton of sense. It didn't make a ton of sense.
They needed another Summers for this book.
And it was, and well, now you have two Cables. Put one Cable in one book and the other Cable in the other book.
Yeah, because is old Cable running around?
They haven't had older Cable. But, younger Cable looks a little bit more like what's his name from the movie? Similar haircut, Josh Brolin, right? Mm. So I feel like people would throw up over Josh Brolin Cable unless they went, "Oh, this is the younger version," so we can kind of change the shape of his head a little, make him a little less muscular. So Josh Brolin looks a little more like it. I literally think that was probably what they were thinking.
So like Goonies, Josh Brolin.
Yes, but with the undercut.
Okay.
Cable, right? You know, slick back hair. But what were we even talking about? No idea.
Cables. X-Men.
Yeah. So the islands are back together. Apocalypse is up to something.
I thought that's weird that like Cable and Rachel are calling each other like brothers and sisters, and it's like you both are from different timelines and realities. Okay. Technically, you're both Summers, but
yeah,
you're not even from the same.
What's Rachel's mutant name?
Prestige, which is a really weird name.
Is that Hope or is that not?
No, that's not Hope. That's Hope Rachel.
Okay, so
she's that's got the things. That's on her the old Rachel.
Are those tattoos?
I don't know.
Does it
mutant marks?
Yeah, because when she was in the future, she was a hound that hunted other mutants, and like that was like the marks that. So like
those are her hound.
Yeah, so sometimes she has them, sometimes she doesn't have them.
So is where's Hope?
We don't know.
In the future, probably.
Oh no, Hope is one of the six that make the new mutants.
Oh yeah, because
she amplifies everybody's powers or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah. She and Gold Balls are hanging.
Okay. Yeah.
Gold Balls is always hanging.
That's right.
Yeah. But,
yeah, not an auspicious beginning. And it's interesting. Monday we had the FOC issue 4 of Marauders and I think Fallen Angels and another one. It's like, oh, you know, because of holiday shipping and stuff. It's like, really? Before number 2 comes out, you're having us put in our final numbers for 4. I'm going to say that more is a case of you guys just trying to preserve your numbers, that we don't know how fast these are going to drop, and you're making us guess.
Yeah.
And they've done this before, and it's like...
Well, I wasn't planning on picking up Excalibur, but I did today. Just because I feel like...
Trying to give them the first story arc.
Like, you know.
More power to you on that.
Because I want to be a big X-Men book, but this is, you know...
That's because I need like the Scrooge McDuck like capital to be getting all these books every.
Oh yeah, well this week hurt. I was looking at my receipt. Tim was like, "Is everything okay?"
Yeah.
Oh no.
And I was like, "No, it's just a big week.
I'm not eating, but fine."
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's. I read some other stuff, but nothing I want to call out.
Batman and the Outsiders, number 7. So, Black Lightning and Katana have the lady that they rescued from Roz on a plane back to Gotham. Well, that's going on. Orphan is trying to track down... Duke, who has been kidnapped by another one of Raj's henchmen, I forget his name now, but he's been like one of the main bad guys through this first story arc. And he has them like in a on a truck on the go driving through. So she's able to chase them down on a bike, and Batman's warning her, you know, like, wait for me, and, you know, and, but she doesn't, and they start the fight, and, like, they done something to Duke with his, like, sight powers or whatever those were, but they did something weird with him, and while that's going on the plane, the mercenary guy that's been in these first couple of issues who has been helping him, turns out he's actually a secret agent for Oz as well. And him and the other lady attack Black Lightning and Katana and cause the plane to start going down. And it looks like it's getting ready to crash into Gotham. And like while all that stuff is happening, the Doom symbol lights up in the sky, you know, tying it into all the Year of the Villain stuff like that. And then the only other book that I'll talk about is The Flash number 82.
I read that.
So this book like opens up in like a winter wonderland of just everything's like iced over, nobody's out and about, and some people are, I think, they're trying to steal something, and they get, like, caught by,
cops.
Yeah, but...
But they work for Captain Cold.
Yeah.
Who has declared himself king.
Yes. So then we flash to, like, his headquarters, and, they get a signal that something's going on, and then they like, well, out in these big tanks there, and it's the Commander Cold from the future, and Wally, and I always forget the Japanese Flash lady who was in.
Yeah, I don't.
But they all were there, trying to get something, but Commander Cold holds off Captain Cold so they can escape.
Oh, so the Captain Cold and Commander Cold are two different.
Yes,
people. Commander Cold is
the good guy.
Okay,
from the future.
Yeah, whereas Captain Cold, well,
yeah, because in the future,
the letter snart we know, he was the one that got the offer from Lex.
Yeah,
okay. And so he's now king of Central City.
Because like in the future, the Rogues are actually a group of good guys. And they kind of like work with the police force,
okay.
And through the time travel stuff, he got stuck here whenever the Speed Force got broken and nobody could time travel anymore.
I was imagining some kind of like Cold Navy, where you got Commander Cold and Captain Cold.
That's Private Cold over there.
And they have they're fighting, and it looks like the commander is gonna win, and but the captain pulls out a trick and he freezes him, and then it cuts to him cutting captain talking to somebody in the cell about, you know, everything that just happened and stuff, and it turns out to be he has Barry chained up into the wall with a ripped up Flash costume barely hanging on, and throws Commander Cold's like frozen head into the cell with him, and is like, and you can think about that as you watch that.
Watch him fall.
And so I like this issue. I thought it was pretty good. And that's all.
That's it. Okay, yeah. I got two more. Both were confusing. Event Leviathan 6.
Oh, woo! Your favorite.
So, when all is said and done, it's determined that Leviathan is...
Drum roll?
Mark somebody who had he was a Manhunter in a series that ran in 1988 and
89. To be fair, they're playing the long game, and no one saw that coming.
They are. You're right. Nobody saw it coming. So
yeah, but I worry that Bendis plays the long game so long that he doesn't know.
Well, his problem is he's appealing to, like, in Legion, is in Action, are appealing to fans of Rose and Thorn.
So two of them.
So right, and now they're appealing to the fans of Manhunter series again from 1988 and 89 that ran 32 issues.
So is he trying to just make them like his new like Luke Cage and Jessica Jones? Maybe that, like
maybe. But what really got me at the end of this was it basically said at the end of Prelude, and is now going to be going on to more series. And I just went, no, you know, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed the mystery. Who, you know, who did it? Who took out all the intelligence? It was somebody who's doing bad things and trying to expose everything and get rid of all secrets for a better world and all this stuff. And then Superman, when confronting him, basically said no. And he's like, oh, I thought you'd accept me. Well, now I will destroy you. You know, continued in Action 118. And it was just like, no, I'm done.
That's poop.
So, I don't think I will revisit Mr. Bendis' work. Between this and Legion, I'm kind of done.
Wah, wah.
And then in the next issue of Superman, they're getting rid of Clark Kent. Killing off Clark Kent, and he's just going to be Superman going forward.
I thought they were getting rid of his secret identity.
Right.
So people will just know Superman is Clark Kent.
Right, but there won't be a Clark Kent anymore. He won't have to go to work anymore. He'll just be Superman.
Well, how's he going to pay his taxes?
Lois.
They just file jointly?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm completely fine with this.
He's still an illegal alien, though.
True. You want to say, who's going to, like, not, like, you think, like, the taxman's going to come knocking on his door, like, hey, you owe us, like, property tax for, like, the Fortress of Solitude?
Oh. Well, no, because the Fortress of Solitude's not in the United States, so they can't.
Don't they have a hero's tax in Metropolis or something?
Do you have insurance, sir?
So, and then the other one I read was Black Stars Above. This was a new one from Vault. And it's basically, it was pitched as like a cosmic threat in the ancient wilderness. Not ancient, but like the 1800s.
That's wilderness. Not ancient. Jesus Christ.
I know.
Ancient wilderness. There's your title.
In the 1850s. That's pre-Civil War.
Fine. But like it starts with this guy out hunting and there's no animals nearby and you know it's like this trap run we've been getting pelts from for years is running dry and oh wait there are a bunch of lynx around, you know, as he's writing all this stuff down. Lynx around, so then he goes and one of them comes too close and he looks at it and it's got these really weird black eyes and he touches it and the liquid from the eye comes on his finger and then you switch to this lady writing in her diary and then talking to her mom in one language and then talking to grandfather in French. And she really wants out of this town and the trading post will no longer take their pelts. And grandpa is losing it and he lost his leg. It's just very confusing.
This sounds a lot like Canada.
Yeah, well, it does sound like Canada. It never says where it is that I remember. But then she is in town at the trading post trying to get supplies, and a guy offers her, like, a huge fortune if she would take this one box to this town that needs to be there. So she agrees, and she takes the box out, and she's, like, camping for the night in the middle of the woods, and she looks up, and there's this big black moon, and she opens the box and there's this creepy face with the black eyes looking at her and it ends. It was really weird.
So is it like a mutagen or is it like some kind of like
I would think more symbiote.
Yeah, I'd think more along the lines of a symbiote. But yeah, it was really, really weird. I don't exactly know what was going on. So that's what I read. Anybody else have anything that wasn't covered? I know some of you don't do your whole list.
Covered,
okay.
I think.
So what's coming out next week?
Next
Colin?
Week, Pat, we have stuff, and next week is Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
So next week we have.
Be thankful for the for the comics next week.
Yes. There are some good ones. Yes, there are some good ones. Here you go. Action Comics 1017 is an acetate cover tying into Year of the Villain. Basketful of Heads number 2. Number 1 I enjoyed. Yeah. So number 2 that's coming out. Batgirl is an acetate cover. Batman Creature of the Night number 4. Now I know this has been very, 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 very late, like 2 years late. But it was revealed that the artist, I think it's John Paul Leon, was undergoing cancer treatment. And so
we give him a pass.
We give him a pass on this one. Batman versus Ra's al Ghul. I know everybody's excited about that one. Conan 2099 number 1. Oh yeah, because 2099 started this week and now it's continuing next week. Crow Hark the Herald, I think, is a one-shot about the Crow. Fallen Angels number 2. I know you're very excited about that, Brandon.
Already?
Yep.
Jeez.
Well, remember, I already had to FOC number 4 on Monday, which is shipping in 3 weeks. So it's this is might be weekly. Fantastic Four Grand Design number 2.
Was this as good as the X-Men one?
I didn't read it, so I didn't read the X-Men, so... John Constantine Hellblazer number 1. I am excited about this one. I really enjoyed the special. Justice League Dark is getting an acetate cover, and one other big news: Rom V is taking over Justice League Dark. I'm excited for him.
The Hellblazer I read wasn't the number 1 issue.
No, that was like a special. That was Sandman Presents Hellblazer special.
That's so dumb.
I agree.
That's so dumb.
But I think they wanted to use that to get into the Sandman world, and now it's getting its own book. I don't know. I don't write the rules. Pat, Philadelphia number 1 is next week. It's about a small town cop goes to his father was a cop in Philadelphia and has been murdered and no one's investigating, so he goes to investigate. Lazarus Risen number 3. This is a quarterly, so that's why I wanted to highlight that one. I found this interesting. The last issue is Machine Gun Wizards. First 3 issues were Tommy Gun Wizards. Something happened. Some lawyer sent a letter. I just find it kind of funny that they had to change the title of the last issue of a 4-issue meeting.
Now, I wonder
meeting.
Who owns the publication like rights to
Tommy Gun.
Gun.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody does.
Or is it Thompson Manufacturing?
Yeah. Maybe.
It's a trademark name.
Could be. Misplaced number 1. I'm not exactly sure what that one is, but I... New Mutants number 2. I know you're giddy about that one to see what happens to the kids in Shi'ar space.
Yeah, I think I almost remember that.
Yeah, yeah. There was coffee involved.
Coffee, that green guy.
Yeah, and the
didn't like the coffee.
Right, but then they put something in his stomach.
Star jammers were.
Yeah, they left the kids. So nice. Yep.
Some gold balls.
You remember it?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'll come rushing back.
Yeah. New previews is next week. Punisher 2099 is next week as well.
I don't think you're gonna sell a lot.
Well, good thing I didn't order a lot of them. Yeah. Red Hood Outlaw number 40 is an acetate cover. This one I'm very excited about. I am so happy that Marvel double shipped me on this one. Oh, wait, no, they didn't double ship me. Never mind. There's an Art Germ variant. That's why I ordered an extra 10. Scream, Curse of Carnage. Spinning out of the blockbuster Absolute Carnage, we get Scream, Curse of Carnage. Second Coming number 5.
Woo!
Okay. Shazam number 8.
Is that the last issue or are there two?
No,
more?
One more after this. Okay. Yeah. Space Riders Vortex of Darkness. This is one from Black Mask that's done very well. Star Trek Picard Countdown. Cover A, TBA. We still have not seen the cover because it will spoil the show, apparently.
I bet it has a bald guy on it.
I bet it does too. Supergirl Annual number 2. This is tying in with the Infected. Tales of the Dark Multiverse Infinite Crisis number 1. Terrifics 22 gets an acetate cover. Uncanny X-Men 266 Facsimile Edition. Pat, who is that the first appearance of?
I don't know.
Dave.
Oh.
Oh, come on. X-Men 266.
Gambit?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good job.
Good job.
Venom number 20 is an Absolute Carnage tie-in. The week after the last issue.
Okay.
And X-Force number 2. So we'll find out about the funeral of Professor X.
So wait, there's 3 X-books?
Yes!
You're going to be all X'd out of here soon.
You can't plan these things.
No, you can't. It's really a shame. Yeah.
It's a lot of X-books.
Yeah.
Well, so no. You had
are they skipping any weeks?
No.
Are they all double shipping? Is that how it works?
Maybe.
Is that how it works?
The whole bunch of
my
extra...
favorite is in December, they're all double shipping. And December's only 3 weeks. Yeah. Man.
I think they're going to...
Burn everybody
they're
out.
Gonna, yeah, they're going to just... Roll paper on it.
Yep.
Because even if people are liking it...
Yep.
It's so many books.
That's a big F.
Yep. Four legs good, two legs better. Sorry. But yeah, well, if one is good, let's
this
brush
is like them. 16 legs.
Hmm? Oh, 16 legs, yeah.
And no one wants two spiders on them.
Yeah.
Correct. Correct. So that's what's coming up next week. Friday is book club where we're doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Volume 1. I've heard good things.
It was good.
Saturday is Small Business Saturday. I did a post about all the different books I'll have. Now, sadly, the good thing is the post included the print runs. So if it has a really low print run, I probably only got one or at most two. A lot of books I have, I was able to order as many as I want, so I have those. So we'll be having those for sale on Saturday, and I'll do some sort of special sale I've been thinking about as we've been sitting here. Next week... Oh, and I already have the book for next month's book club. Yay.
What is it?
Klaus is finally in
stock.
So Mike. They will be in tomorrow. They'll be in Thursday. I have them coming.
You going to come to this one, Dave?
I'll come to that one.
Okay. Because finally in paperback.
You heard it here first, folks.
I know.
I don't know what day it is. I'll have to figure out what day we're doing it. Well, probably, I guess probably the Friday after Christmas because it'll be, what, the 27th?
I don't know. I mean, it's always tough because people travel around. Yeah.
That's true. That's true. But then
we can
be
talk
the
about
20th,
it
or maybe we can do the first one in January.
I think that's what we did last
January
year.
January 3rd.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe we'll do January 3rd.
You can go early, too, because you want to talk about it. Like
it
a
is
very,
a fast read.
Yeah, it's a Christmassy book.
We'll discuss on Friday when we want to do it. But so that's going on. Black Friday is coming up next week, and then Small Business Saturday, and I'll try to do something different for each of those 2 days. I have some things I wanted to get done here. We'll see how much I can get done the rest of this week. I think that's about all we got for November. I think the previews order isn't due till after Thanksgiving, so there's a little extra time this month.
Really,
it is, well, because they don't want to have it done
Thanksgiving.
Right, but they don't want to have it done on the day it would technically be due is Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Which is, you know.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, not going to happen. So I think they kicked it to Monday. The following Monday, which is actually like December 1st or something.
Yeah.
Or it might be, you know, 3 a.m. Sunday, you know, type of thing.
Same difference.
Yeah. So it might be due that Sunday. But still, that's fine. That's all I got. Website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram is PGH Comics. That's all we got for this week. Pat!
That's podcast.
We'll talk at you next week. See ya.